this week in Glasgow Airport, and while getting on a plane going to a book festival in Stornoway, there was the meeting of two authors. They're rather cruelly portrayed in this caricature from The Scotsman. Richard Dawkins, the prominent atheist and author of The God Delusion, and David Robertson, a Christian minister and the author of The Dawkins Delusion. They were on their way to Stornoway. They wound up on the same plane. I hear Richard Dawkins' baggage got lost, and he wasn't happy about either his baggage being lost or being on the same plane as David Robertson. Sadly, there was no debate between the two of them, for Richard Dawkins would not take part in a debate with David Robertson. And so the only public exchange between the two came at the end of a talk David was giving in Stornoway, when Richard Dawkins asked a question. I'm told that at the airport when they met, apart from being welcomed to Scotland by David, Richard Dawkins had very little to say, and so there was very little conversation between the two of them other than that question and David's answer. Sometimes we're a bit like that, though, aren't we? It's as if there are occasions when we become lost for words. We really don't know where to go in the conversation. Imagine you are in the middle of a group of other people. How do you respond when someone asks you, "So, how are you? Are you doing okay?" And you might mutter something like, "Oh, I'm fine, really." Really? Or are you just saying that because talking about it now in a crowd of people would be kind of embarrassing with all these other folks listening in? But even in smaller circles, say just one other person, how many of us really answer honestly to that question? How are you? How are you doing? How am I? Well, my back aches, my knees are stiff, I'm on all kinds of pills for my high blood pressure, my boss is a tyrant at work, the work's dreadful, my children are annoying, my wife and I can't have a conversation that doesn't involve her mother and my faults. And if you dare ask me about my walk with God, well, I'm going to punch you. That might be the kind of things that go through some minds when we're asked, how are you? Why is it that we find it so hard to be honest to each other when life is really hard? I know it's partly because we're Scottish and we don't talk about these kind of things very much, especially if we're men. But I think there's a more insidious reason too, for deep, deep down within us, we struggle to believe the truth about God and the truth about ourselves. I want to suggest this morning that there are three lies about being a Christian that many of us often find ourselves believing. And here's the first of these three lies. When you become a Christian, everything will be fine. It's a lie. A lie that's even taught openly in plenty of usually wealthy churches. When you become a Christian, everything will be fine. That's taught in some churches. But it's absolutely crippling to those people who find out to their surprise later on that being a committed follower of Jesus is actually far, far harder than not being a Christian. When you become a Christian, everything is not always fine. And it cripples us. Because we find that life is tough. And when we find that life is tough, then we believe the second lie. Oh, we really need to bring this thing down. There's obviously something fundamentally wrong with us. And God is disappointed in us. That's the second lie that we end up believing. This is how we think. If the normal Christian life is always plain sailing, then I can't be normal, because I'm in a storm. There's obviously something wrong with me. God's disappointed in me. And not wanting to doubt God, we turn it all in on ourselves and we feel a failure. And when we feel failures like that, then we start believing the third lie, that we can't talk to God about how we feel. How can we? How can I talk to God? It's all my fault. I'm so wretched, I'm so weak. How God must despise me. And instead of God being our rock and our shelter, our shield and our defender in times of trouble, God becomes, in our minds at least, an ogre that we can't even talk to. Now you might be sitting this morning thinking, Andrew, don't be so stupid. We know we can talk to God about anything and everything. But let me ask you this. Has there ever been a time when you've been feeling so guilty that you've not been able to pray? Have you ever felt so angry and so frustrated that you couldn't bring yourself to read the Bible? Have you ever had doubts about your faith and been too embarrassed to mention them in your prayers? If so, then, at least in part, you've been sucked into one of these three lies. So this morning, I want you to embarrass yourself. I want you to examine yourself. And if you've fallen foul of one of these three lies, to recognize what's going on and to pray for God's help to believe the truth instead. For the truth is this, if we are trusting in Jesus as our Savior, then the wonderful truth is that God is always with us. He loves us far, far more than we can ever imagine. And God longs for us to talk to Him about everything. And so our reading this morning from Psalm 90 gives us plenty of grounds for believing what God says rather than the lies of the devil. It reminds us, firstly, that God is eternal. God is in charge. Listen to Psalm 90. Verse 2, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, huge words like that, huge thoughts like that, are not designed to make us feel insignificant or worthless. But they're a reminder that in the great scheme of things, God is great and we are not. So, if it becomes a contest as to who we will trust, God or ourselves, then of course we need to choose God. You need to choose God, and so do I. We need to choose God as the person we will trust. And then secondly, the psalm reminds us that it's God who sets the limits on our lives. Listen to verse 5 and verse 6 of Psalm 90. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and it's withered. It's God who sets the limits on our lives. We're just as the psalmist says. And then thirdly, we realize that the third fact is that God is the giver of life. God is our creator and sustainer. And this too should give us comfort and give us strength, because by it we are reminded that our true value is not found in wealth or in popularity, in success or in talent, but rather in our relationship to God. Not only have we been made in God's image, something that gives all human beings dignity and importance, but if we've come to Christ, then we have been adopted as God's sons and daughters. We're adopted into God's family. We have the full rights of being a member of that family. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus. We are God's beloved children. And God is never, never careless with His own. And as His, He knows everything about us. He knows our talents, our gifts. He also knows about our weaknesses and our sins. Verse 8 says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. And although we try to hide our sin from God, there is no escape. God knows our darkest secrets. God knows our dreams. God knows our nightmares. God sees all that we do. He hears all that we say. He understands all our hidden motives. And still we find that God does not turn away from us. He runs towards us. We rightfully deserve God's wrath and condemnation, but instead God offers us forgiveness, adoption, joy, love, wisdom and hope. Listen to verse 12 to 14. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. This is really the fact of the matter. And when we read in the Psalms of this kind of loving Father, it reminds us so much of the Father in the story of the prodigal son who stands looking for his lost son. And when he's standing at the gate, and when the day he sees him, he runs to embrace his son. He dresses him in fine robes. He throws a party because his son has returned to him. That's how much God loves us. We have a God in whom for our whole lives we can enjoy unfailing love. We can enjoy love and joy and gladness. We enjoy eternal significance with God. And because of who God is and what God is like, it means that whatever we're going through, whatever our emotional state, we have a hotline, a phone line direct to our Heavenly Father. And God is just longing for us to pick up that phone and have that conversation. Do we think God will be put off because of how we are feeling? Do we think he doesn't already know? Suffering and confusion and anger and doubts and guilt, they're all part of our human condition. Every man, woman and child who's ever lived on this earth has faced these things, including the writer of the Psalms. People like David and Solomon and Moses, these amazing men who wrote so many of these verses that we read in the book of Psalms, are people just like you and me, people who understood what it was to be a fallen human, a fallible human in a fallen world, and yet they find words for every emotion imaginable. You see, God calls us to be in a relationship with him. He wants us to come to him with all our problems, with all our fears, with all our anger, with all our doubts, with all our pain. And because we're often lost for words, he's given us the Bible to help us. Because in this Bible, in this book, we find people who struggled with exactly these same things, the things that blight our lives. And when we are lost for words, then their words can help us to bring our situations before God. Let me give you some examples. Guilt. Perhaps right now you're feeling guilty. Some time ago you might have put up your hand and accepted Jesus as your Lord, but frankly, your spiritual life just now feels like a bit of a sham. You just can't stop getting angry. Perhaps you drink too much. Perhaps your language is not the kind of language that you like using at the best of times. Perhaps your quiet times are as regular as visits of Halley's Comet. It's been going on for some time. You feel too ashamed to admit it to God or to others. Perhaps there's one huge sin in your life that no one else knows about. You've never confessed and you just don't know where to start. How do you tell a holy God that when you don't even feel worthy to pray? Well, David did. In Psalm 51, we find David's prayer of confession after committing adultery with Bathsheba, and then having her husband killed to cover up for his crime. David wrote, "Have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." What could you or I possibly have done that is worse than that? Our sin should drive us towards God, not keep us from him. Or perhaps guilt's not the problem, but you're in pain this morning. The doctors have prescribed pills and treatment that But these things just take the edge off the pain and you don't seem to be getting any better. And you've prayed but no miracles happened and you're not sure how you can carry on. What do you say to God when all your prayers for relief seem to have been ignored? When you feel yourself getting closer towards death, what do you pray to God then? Well, take a look at Psalm 88. Or maybe this is how you're feeling this morning. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I'm overwhelmed with troubles. My life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me. Boy, these are dark words, aren't they? Dark words from someone who is in a dark place. But you know, there's nowhere so bleak that God cannot hear our cries. There's no pit so deep that his love cannot reach down into it and grasp us and lift us up. Even though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, because God is with us to comfort us and guide and protect us. In our pain, we come to God whose arms are longer than the deepest pit. So we have guilt and we have pain. Perhaps this morning you have got so many questions. You watch the TV news and you see time and time again the innocent suffering and good people doing very little to help, and it makes you want to weep and cry out, why, Lord? Why is the world like this? Why are you letting this happen, God? Perhaps it's closer to home. Perhaps you've heard of a relative who has cancer or a friend who has died in an accident, and you want to trust God, but it's just so hard. How do you tell God, the God you say you believe in, that you just don't understand what he's doing? Well, if you have questions like that, you're not alone. Psalm 10 asks the same thing. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Why the wicked prosper and why bad things happen to seemingly good people has been a question or questions that have been common to mankind almost since the beginning of time. And yet God is big enough to take all of these questions. Big enough to help you find your way through all these questions too. Perhaps it's not questions, but anger. Life seems to be dealing you or those you love one injustice after another. Nothing seems to be working out. Life is a constant struggle for you. And despite working hard, despite following God, all you see are the wicked prospering and leaving you with the crumbs. And from your perspective right now, it looks like Satan is in control, that the righteous are getting ripped off and ignored and abused and beaten up, and it shouldn't be like this. And all you want to do is go into a cupboard and grab a cricket bat or a baseball bat and vent some righteous anger on them. Well, how do you take these emotions to a loving God? Psalm 4, verse 4, in your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Well, anger often leads us to vengeance, doesn't it? And perhaps the most disturbing passage in the Psalms is Psalm 137. Boney M. might have had a hit with By the Rivers of Babylon, but the writer's mind definitely was not on making a pop classic when he wrote this psalm. He was in captivity. Jerusalem was overrun, the Edomites had been treacherous, and now he wanted vengeance. And he writes, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." And he went on, "Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down," they cried. "Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one," get this, "who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks." I didn't hear that verse in the song. These emotions are raw, perhaps a little too vicious for our tastes, but yet the writer feels able to come to God with these thoughts, these kinds of feelings. There's no comment here in the psalm about God's response, but we can certainly take it as read that even feelings like this are not too hot for God to handle. Perhaps vengeance isn't your problem. Perhaps this morning you are more in need of guidance. Perhaps despite having Christian marriage, your family life is a real struggle and you just don't know where to turn. Perhaps work is hard and unsatisfying. Perhaps you've some elderly relatives who need your help and you don't know what to do. None of it's life-threatening, but it drags you down and it wears you out, and God seems miles and miles and miles away. How can you pray with all of that going on? Well, listen to these words from Psalm 25. They're a starting point. "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long." When we are floundering and unsure, God promises wisdom to all who ask and guidance to all who seek. Is life confusing? Do you not know which way to turn sometimes? Don't try and figure it all out on your own. Pray. Pray. And God will lead you. You see, talking to God frankly about what's going on, talking to God about the things that are going on in our lives, doesn't always come easily. But we have plenty of help right here in God's Word. Persecution, pain, doubts, fears, anger, rage, confusion, guilt, questions. The writers of the Psalms went through all of these things, and they brought all their gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, soul-twisting questions before God. You'll remember Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and here in the Psalms we have 150 lessons so that even in the darkest of life's days we can cling on to our faith. As you read these prayers and songs in the book of Psalms, you'll find what the writers discovered. That even in the face of our worst nightmare, God is still in control. That in our darkest moments, God is brighter still. When we are shaken and stirred, God is never moved. When we doubt, God is always true. And when we sin, God is always, always, always willing to forgive the one who asks. We are not promised an easy life this side of eternity. Life is hard and painful and confusing, but we are never, ever, ever alone. And in the midst of our struggles day by day, God promises in his word to be with us, to always be with us by his Spirit, to give us a peace that the world cannot give. And at our end, God promises to give us a glorious future in his eternal kingdom, where tears and sadness and fear and worry and want are no more. So are you lost for words right now? Don't keep silent. Read the Psalms and let these God-inspired words lead you to come to seek help from your Heavenly Father, who wants you to talk to him about everything. Let's pray.